Thank you, Ken, and thank you, Chris. I would be not free of heart if I didn't say Happy Mother's Day to all of you out there, and I'm thankful to be here. And one thing that I would truly say in all honesty is that I'd be more than happy to sit back down and listen to Chris sing for the next hour. I really appreciate the music and how it's put together, and I appreciate the Lord giving that to us to bring a calmness to our heart and to bring us to a place of peace in our minds, and it's soothing, and I really appreciated that. And I appreciated our brother's song this morning as well, our brother Gordon. And you know, it's special to be able to see these talents be brought forth and shared with everyone, and I hope that everybody that got to listen to that truly enjoyed it as I did. It's a lot different in person. I've been home and I watched quite a few specials, and I know they're all beautiful, but it is different with the sound quality when you hear it at home than when you hear it here, and it just absolutely gives me goosebumps and touches my heart and gives me that comfort knowing that the Lord's Spirit is continuously working upon the hearts of our brothers and sisters, and through music and through words and through actions. I see that day in and day out. I wanted to start off and say I absolutely miss this day. This has been probably the first time since in a long time that I haven't actually had the ability to participate or put together a Mother's Day dinner slash lunch, whatever you call it. And I really miss that. We've had some good times in the last years prior, and it's absolutely a blessing to be able to serve our mothers and our grandmothers and our brothers and sisters on this day that we...
Make it up to it.
Oh, okay. So Michelle just said that she'll let us make it up to you women out there. So okay,
we
Michelle said we will let the men make it up to them, so we can do that. Yes, you got me there. So yes, that would be something. A belayed Mother's Day lunch, I think that would be really neat. So yes, we'll have to think about that and put that on the schedule. That'll be fun. And again, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to be able to come and to speak to everyone and to share the message that the Lord has put on my heart. And as you can see, the title of it is With a Steadfast Faith. And I've been really busy in so many different ways as of lately, and it's with work and everything that's going on there as far as this possible promotion. I'm not sure if that'll take place or not, but it's been a great learning experience, and I'll find out Monday if that actually transpires. It's kind of neat because, you know, there's so many things and situations that the Lord puts us in so many different times that I was just telling Michelle prior to the service that I'm not prepared for it. And she just kind of laughed at me and said, well, I don't think you were too prepared for the supervisor's position either, but that's what you did and you're doing a great job at it. So it's interesting to see the opportunities and the responsibilities that we take upon ourselves, and in doing so, know that the Lord gives us the ability to be able to do those things. And I just wanted to share with everybody a little portion of that. One of the things, the first questions of the interview process on the second round, it was with the assistant director at the airport and my deputy director, who was previously the superintendent. The first question is, why do you want to serve as the superintendent, or why do you want the superintendent's position? And her name is Sarah, and I said, Sarah, really, you know, every morning that I get up, I put my feet on the floor and I think about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And the number one reason is to serve others. And that's what my duty in life is. That's what I've been called to do. And I find an appreciation and a sense of worthiness when it comes to serving those that we come in contact with. And I really appreciate the opportunity, and I know that this is much more than just a position. It's a bond, it's a trust, it's a work ethic that we all have, and that's what you're looking for. And it's interesting because the people that I work with, I told her that we go through good times and we've been through bad times, and it's not just work related, it's life itself as well. I've known people there that have passed away that I care deeply for, and I also know people that have been through, and we've prayed about, that have had serious physical issues in their lives. And we grow a bond when we go through these stages of life together, and we build a trust and we build relationships, and that's what it's about. And in those relationships, we can rely upon each other, we care about each other, and we try to do things for each other, and that's where the servitude comes in. And that's what I would take as my primary responsibility, is making sure that we are serving the customers and the people that we are in contact with. So I just put it out there as far as who I was. I told her that I did have a sense of humor as well, and she appreciated that. So we'll see where that goes. But in all honesty, my heart was truly there to let God know that whatever role He puts me in my life, I will serve in that role to the best of my ability. And in doing so, if that's the Lord's will in my life and the path He wants me to go down, I'd be more than happy to do that. I know there's much responsibility there, but I know there's much reward that we can be able to be a light for Him in those that we come in contact with. So, you know, I have that faith, and I know that we've been going through a lot of struggles, and everybody has their difficulties that they're dealing with. And so I wanted to just thank the Lord for the opportunities that He has provided. It seems that sometimes we can really start to feel the burdens weigh heavy on us as time goes by. But I continuously pray to the Lord that all of us will have the strength to be able to carry on and not let the stresses of life get to us, and that we can continue exercising our faith, and the Lord can continue to help us be able to serve Him to the best of our abilities. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with my first slide here. And my first slide is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." You know, it's really important that we look to God for those things in which we stand in need for. And just as I was sitting here and listening to my sister praise God, it's truly an awesome feeling to be able to know that the Lord's Spirit is with us, and that He protects us, and that He cares for us, and that even when we walk around and see all the things going on in this world, that we still can be a light for Him, that in all aspects of life, we're going to have our trials and we're going to have our tribulations. And I think that having God on our side and knowing that He's there to watch over us and to carry us through the difficult times gives us that strength to be able to endure, to be able to continue on. And so I'm comforted by that. You know, I have a Tempur-Pedic bed, and that bed is really comfortable. And I really enjoy when I lay down at night and be able to rest. And it's a different kind of rest. It's a rest of the temporal state and my physical body. But I appreciate the comfort that the Lord gives us in these difficult situations. I appreciate the clarity of thought that He provides. I appreciate the strength that He gives, the ability to have the desire to serve, to still carry that zeal that He desires us to have, to be able to encourage others, to edify others, and to admonish others. Those are the thoughts that I have this night and that I wanted to come to be able to present and to share with you. And we know that in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 17, that God is with us. He is always with us. He works upon our hearts. He gives us the counsel we need as long as our hearts are open to Him. And in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 17, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And that's something special that we all need to consider, is that he is with us, and he's in us. And nobody can take that. Nobody can pull that away from us. We have an adversary that tries to, that does all sorts of things day in and day out to try to discourage us from looking to God and seeking his counsel and putting our trust in him. He wants to feel like as if we're abandoned, that he's not there, that he's not doing anything for us. But we all know that God has proven himself over and over and over again. He's always been there. He tells us that. He will always be there through everything. He tells us that. And he will always be there in the future for us. And we always have that avenue to be able to reach out to him and to seek him as long as we're willing to. And through all the struggles and through all the trials, God is there with us. We have to remember that. Our brother Ken this morning, he had reiterated Brother Placido's sermon when he was here for a union a few years back. And it was focus on God. And, you know, I've been thinking about that. What is my focus? What is my focus that God wants me to have right now? And it's to serve. It's to serve him. And I was listening to one of my talk shows. Everybody knows Dave Ramsey. I really listen to him a lot. And he has a couple guest speakers that he has on from time to time. And he has a new personality that he brought in with his show. And his name's Dr. something. I have it in here later on down the road in further slides. But this doctor said that basically what we focus on is what we're successful at. And how true is it that when we focus on God, whatever we put our minds to, he'll help us accomplish it. His will be done. He will have his intentions in our lives show forth. And I always think about that. When I get in these situations where it's difficult, where I can't think, where my mind is just going in a million different directions, you know, what am I focusing on right now? I can't focus on 100 different things. I have to focus on what God wants me to ponder on, what he wants me to be thinking about, how he wants me to be thinking about that, how he wants me to act on that. You know, what is his will in that? What is he trying to accomplish? And open my heart to that and move forward and take the processes that he has given me, the actions that he has instructed me to do, and to go forth and to act upon them and to make sure that I'm doing it in a way of servitude and in a humble manner. And it's a selfless act when you give yourself over to God. And knowing that we're doing that to glorify him, it's a bond, it's a relationship, it's a trust, and it's a steadfastness that we constantly have, knowing that he will carry us through anything. And I'm truly appreciative of that. And he will abide with us forever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 5 through 11, and then we're going to go through a few definitions with this. It says here, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For which For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You know, we're called to be servants of God. We're called to let that light shine from us, to be able to do his work, to let him mold us, to let him shape us. You know, we were created out of the dust, and it was by God. And that's something that nobody else has ever done, nobody else can do, and nobody else will ever do. And we have a time here that the Lord has given us to be able to be that light, to let that light shine, to show others the way, to be a beacon for him, to be able to help others in their trials and their tribulations, to be an example just like Jesus was for us, to be able to develop that closeness, that bond, that intimacy that we all should have with Jesus Christ because of what he gave for us, for the love that he had for us, for the ability for us to be able to be who we are because of what he's done, for the freedoms which we have as human beings, for the right to choose, for those blessings of life, all those things that God provide us. It's so gratifying to know that he's given so much, but yet he expects so little. And, you know, we have so much, if we look at the bigger picture, we have so much to look forward to. Life goes by in the blink of an eye. I know that all of us has seen many things unfold as of lately, but there's many opportunities that come with that. And I wanted to talk about one of these books I've been reading. It's the third time now. I listen to it on my way to and from work. It's called Extreme Ownership, and it's about a group of, it's written by Jocko Willink, and it's talks about the Navy SEALs and basically what they go through and why they go through it, how they go through it. He gives life examples, and he talks about the closeness that he has with the people that he served with. And it's interesting because the bond that they develop, we know that there's the Band of Brothers that has been put out for people to be able to watch and to view. But it's interesting that, you know, when you fight and you go through life and you struggle, those people that you go through life doing that with, you build that bond. And my message is that, you know, we have somebody that will fight for us and that will carry us through, that'll pick us up off the battlefield, that'll help us in our times of sickness, our times of need, whether it's mentally or physically, and that's Christ Jesus. But we have to build that closeness. We have to build that bond with him. It's something that when we understand what the Lord calls us to do, it's because we draw ourselves close to him. We let his spirit work upon our hearts. We let him give that direction that we need and the guidance. And so there's a few things here that I'm going to talk about. And most importantly, I want everybody to remember that, you know, through all these things, if you're distressed, if you're in despair, if you feel like you've been forsaken, if you feel like you've been torn apart and destroyed, that just remember the power of God helps us overcome those things. And it's not of us, just as it says here. It's the power maybe of God and not of us. But we have to call upon God to help us through those times and through those difficulties. So I have a slide here. I looked these up. I like the Webster's 1828 dictionary. And I was telling that to my Sunday school class this morning. And we're going to kind of go towards that direction. Our brother Aaron, he did an awesome sermon. I really appreciated that when he did it on adversity. We got through that study. I was drawing a parallel between World War II and Winston Churchill and adversity and what he had to go through World War II. And before that, you know, when we come into life's trials and tribulations and the struggles that we go through in life, you know, there's three things that I brought to my Sunday school class. And I told him, I said, I'm going to start sharing this with everybody because I think it's really good and that we need to think about it. It's controllables. We have controllables in our lives. And the three things that I gave them to think about in our controllables, and we'll go over that in these slides, is our outlook, our actions, and our accountability. And so further on here in a few more slides, we're going to get to that. But I wanted to talk about this and explain why we need God in our lives. Because we have an adversary, like I said earlier, that is trying to do all these things right here and then some. You know, this is just a small portion of it. But I didn't want to have a laundry list of things. I thought these few things here were important in this day in which we live. So it says, we are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. Why is that? Why is that? Well, the term distressed means suffering great pain or torture, severely afflicted, harassed, oppressed with calamity or misfortune. You know, why is it that we're not distressed? Completely just losing it. Why? We are perplexed, but not in despair. There's a lot of crazy things going on right now, but we're not in despair. We know that God has a plan. We heard that preached over the pulpit this morning, and that word despair, it's hopelessness. We're not completely hopeless. We know that the Lord has everything in order. He is taking care of us. It's a destitution of hope or expectation, that which causes despair, that of which there is no hope. Loss of hope in the mercy of God. You know, God forbid that any of us get to that point of utter despair. That would be showing us that Satan himself is winning and that he has conquered us in that fact. So we know that there is a power that God has. There is a comforter that he has given us. There is strength that he gives us. He doesn't give us fear. He gives us strength, and that we can overcome these things. It says, persecuted but not forsaken. You know, God tells us we're his children. He's never going to desert us. He's never going to abandon us. He's always there with us. If our hearts are always looking towards God, if we always have that desire to draw ourselves closer to him, he's going to carry us through. Cast down but not destroyed. Demolished, pulled down, ruined, annihilated, devoured. And this one here caught my eye. Swept away. You know, we're not going to be swept away. I think about this, and I think about the stormy seas and the verses in the Bible where it talks about how God just brought the calmness to the waters and everything was okay. And, you know, even when the waters were turbulent, he was sleeping because he has it all under control. And God, if we allow him to, can have our lives under control as well. And you know, we're gonna have trouble. We're gonna have failures, we're gonna have success, we're gonna have struggles, but we know that if our focus is on God, that we can overcome. What we focus on is what we're successful at. And this is where we start to get to my Sunday school class. I brought a few clips in from that. And you know, one of the things I was bringing was a comment that Winston Churchill had made. It says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. That is what counts. And again, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of strength. And I like the fact that it starts off with success is not final. You know, it's kind of interesting. I think about that, and I think about this path that we're all going down, and we're in this path, and there's going to be times of great success in our lives. And does that mean I'm done? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean I'm done until I'm laying down, hopefully not in the Tempur-Pedic. I hope I don't have that mattress till then. But I'm laying down, and I'm about to leave this world. That is when we'll determine whether we were successful or not, is when we leave this temporal body and we return to God. And I really appreciate that too, because, you know, if I was to get this superintendent position, is that it? No, that's just the beginning. That's the beginning. I didn't succeed in anything. I'm getting started, and there's however many more years that I have to keep going. I have to wake up. I have to push every day. And one of the things that I described was that I come to work and some days it's like you're just starting the marathon, you got all the energy in the world. And some days when I get to work, it's like I'm at the very end of the marathon and I can barely make it to that finish line. And that's the ebb and flows of life. And I kind of relate that to our spiritual walk when we're on this path that we're walking in, this spiritual path. You know, and there's no moving forward if you're just standing there, if you're complacent, if you think that you have done everything you have done and you're still breathing, well, for the most part, then you're not done. You still have to keep going. There's still things that the Lord gives us to do. We all have responsibilities moving forward. And failure is not fatal. All right, I wish everybody was here. I kind of go with my sermon. Jay knows how I am. And I kind of go with my sermon and I look at the audience and, you know, I kind of, well, should I say this or should I not say this? But everybody kind of knows when I got something coming, especially Alicia, my wife, because I'll start get this smile. And it's that time. And I wish I could see everybody smiling. It says, failure is not fatal. Okay, so failure is life's greatest teacher. You know, when we fail, if we truly have our heart in what we're doing, we're going to learn from those mistakes. We're not going to try to repeat those mistakes. It's going to be ingrained in us. You know, we're going to make sure we do whatever it is that we have to do be able to not go down that path again. So the reason why I got the smile is because I'm sure there's some people out there. And during this time when we were all cooped up in the house, we've actually went through the Star Wars episodes. And so I said, I'm going to put it in there. And somebody said, we'll see if anybody, maybe Michelle can. Somebody said in one of the Star Wars movies, the greatest teacher failure is. That's Yoda, right? So I figured I'd throw that in there. It was comical. Boy, I'm getting crickets here. But I miss everyone. I miss being able to see the smiles and look. I know you're looking at me saying, man, this guy is, I don't know about this guy. But it's definitely something that we need to keep in mind, that failure is not fatal. And this is the most important part, is that it is the courage to continue that counts. It is the courage. We have to have that courage to continue, to ensure within ourselves and our spiritual walk that we're continuously seeking after what God calls us to do. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, I really appreciate this. Everybody knows this verse from Joshua. It says, be strong and of, not Joshua, I'm sorry, it's when Moses was speaking to the nation of Israel. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know, have courage in knowing that God is going to be with us every step of the way in our lives. Okay. So, in 1 John chapter 5, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 4. I just wanted to throw this in there kind of as a conclusion to that portion of it. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Okay. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So that faith that we have can overcome all things, because when we have that faith in God, God is there with us. And so that's just drawing a conclusion to that. Exercise your faith. You know, if you need a lesson on faith, I always find that Alma chapter 16, I think it starts at like verse 155. From there on is an awesome portion on how we should exercise our faith and how to plant it within us and to see it work and grow. So Alma chapter 16, if anybody's taking notes. And so now we're going to go into the next portion of the three things that I had brought up a little bit earlier. Our controllables, our outlook, our actions, and our accountability. Okay? So our outlook, I wanted to read this verse here in 2 Nephi chapter 13. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And again, this is scripture that actually on my water bottle that I have, it has press forward on it. I take that water bottle to the gym. I take it when I go mountain biking. It's there. It's a constant reminder because, you know, in life we continuously have to press forward. We have to know what the goal is. And God gives us a clear picture of that. If we're studying, if we're reading, if we're visiting with Him, He gives us our day-to-day goals, our weekly goals, our monthly goals, yearly. He gives us our life goals, you know, and every one of those goals should include Him. He should be that goal. And everything that comes along with that are great life lessons, learning experiences, and also the ability to be able to glorify God. And so just remember that, our outlook. And one of the things that I wanted to share with our outlook is, and I was talking to my Sunday school kids about this. Boy, I wish I had his name, the doctor's name. It's in here somewhere. Anyways, one of the things I wanted to share with that was, it's called a reticular activating system. It's within our minds, and it's how we process things. It's kind of like a filter. And if we have this reticular activating system, which we do, and if we put it in place, and how it works is that the things that we take in are all filtered throughout the day. How I interact with people, how other people interact with me, and if we have an outlook in our lives as a positive attitude, the way that we interact with other people will be partially decided upon because of that reticular activating system within our brains. It's like transmitting neurons and however it works and changes a lot of the moods that we're in. And I found it interesting because if we wake up on the wrong side of the bed, is which we hear a lot of times. People say, well, if that person's grumpy, he or she woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, you know, that person, if that was to happen, can receive everything throughout the day or their life, for that matter, however much it involves them, in a negative way, even if people approach them in a way that is positive, and vice versa, okay? So if you have this positive outlook on life and you process things that way, then a lot of times when people come to you in a negative way, you can process that as, well, what am I going to do in this situation to make it positive? It's kind of like how we were developed. It's, I don't know if it's part of our DNA, but it was interesting to hear how this was being brought forth. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, wow, that's really interesting, because, you know, we think of an optimist or a pessimist. And I was kind of putting that to this. And it's definitely something that I think that if we are seeking to do those things for God, we need to have control. It's one of our controllables on our outlook and how we look at things and how we interact with others and look at how Christ did that with others. And I think about that. And one of the things that always come to mind is being humble, you know, having that humble attitude towards others. And that really makes a difference on how people treat you, how you treat others, and the overall outlook of things can be changed because of our demeanor, our attitude. And so, you know, it says here that you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and love of God and of all men. So something to think about with our outlook. I'm going to move on to the next one here. Our actions. So Alma chapter 16, verse 227. This is kind of what I was reading all this. I was, you know, wanting to put a lot of this in here, and I just stuck with just this verse. It says, "Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if you repent and harden not your hearts, immediately the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you." And so now is the time. I really appreciate those words in that verse. Now is the time. You know, it's not something that we should be procrastinating. It's not something that we just do when we get around to it. It's now. Now is the time that we work out our salvation. And I know that our brother Joel was talking about our youth and what we need to be doing for our youth. It was something along those lines. And, you know, he was saying that now is the time for our youth. You know, we need to take action now. And I think that's something that, you know, especially in this day that we live, you know, we don't have the luxury to wait. We've been forced into many situations because of all this that's going on. And, you know, we've had to really try our hardest to be able to continue to feed the flock, to be able to provide the Word of God. And to me, now was the time I couldn't put off learning technology any longer. I had to figure it out. I had to start learning how to do it and to be able to understand that, you know, there's times that we come into that things are going to happen. We have to take action when God gives us the time that we have. We can't procrastinate the day of our salvation. It has to be now. We have to be that light now. And that's when we have to be focused on God and understand that we can overcome, we can have the faith and the strength to be able to do so. Okay, so the last one was accountability. I got two different scripture readings here. The first one's in 2 Nephi chapter 1, verses 66 through 67. It says, "And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free. And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil." And the other one is Helaman chapter 5, verses 85 and 86. "And now remember, my brethren, that whosoever perisheth unto himself, and whosoever doeth iniquity, doeth it unto himself. For behold, ye are free, ye are permitted to act for yourselves. For behold, God hath given you a knowledge, and he hath made you free. He hath given you that ye might know good from evil. He hath given unto you that ye might choose life or death, and ye can do good and be restored unto that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you, or ye can do evil and have that which is evil restored unto you." So, you know, in this life that we live, the time is now. We need to focus on what God's goals are, and we need to understand what our role, what our part is in this life. And we have a choice, you know, we have a choice to follow after God or to follow after man or to follow after our own will. It's up to us. And I really think that this is something that we all need to consider, that where we're at right now is definitely detrimental to our salvation and where we're going. And I pray and I ponder and I counsel the Lord to have him show us exactly what it is we need to do. And sometimes I wonder, I asked my wife the other night if the good Lord has a sense of humor. And, you know, it's sometimes I think about it and I look at some of the things that I experienced in life that others have put me in situations, certain situations, and just wanted to see what the results would be. And I've done that myself to people that I work with, that I supervise. I do that to my kids to just see what they're going to do. And do I want them to fail? No. But I want them to start processing life. I want them to start feeling that they can overcome, that they can accomplish without me having to be there. But to be able to rely on what has been given to them, what they have been taught, and to put that into exercise, into place. Because that repetition, that understanding of, well, I made this mistake, like I said earlier, these things have an impact on all of us. And when we're given overall responsibility of something and somebody is watching over us but not interacting, it's interesting to be on both sides of that spectrum. You know, as growing up, I've been on that side. And as now, as an older adult and at work, I'm on the side to where I'm giving people responsibilities. And it's not to see them fail. By no means is to see them fail. It's to be able to see that they have the ability to do it, but better than just that is to show them and have them understand that they have the ability to do it, to give them the confidence in doing so. And when they learn that, then they understand and see why you put them in those positions. Now I understand why I was put in those positions. And in certain situations, it's interesting because it'll repeat itself over and over. And you think back, oh yeah, I did that before. Oh yeah, that's easy now. And it becomes more and more comfortable as you become more and more confident. And then you can share that with others. And one of the things in that book that I've been reading, listening to again and again and again, is I really appreciated the fact of the attention to detail that these Navy SEALs have. They grow so close together that they said that when they go on a military operation in the dark of night and it's pitch blackout, they know who their brothers are by the way they move and by their silhouette. They can tell who is who because they've worked together for so long. They've grown that bond together so much, and they've worked with each other so much. They've helped each other so much that they understand those things. They know those things. Their brain just processes it like that. And that's neat, because that's how we should be building our bond with God, to where He's in our life and we can see Him working on with us and upon our hearts, and that we know that when He is guiding us and directing us with His Spirit, and when we build that bond, we build the confidence in knowing that we can overcome. We build the confidence that we know that we can stand up and glorify God in a crowd. We know that we could come up here and preach to everyone in front of large congregations, or go to foreign lands and be able to know that God is in control. And maybe He's just seeing how we react to what He calls us to do. And are we willing to? Are we going to make that choice? Are we going to decide to let our own will supersede what God's will is? And I hope not. And I just hope that you found that interesting, that we can build such a close relationship with God that we know when He's talking to us, we know that when He's guiding us, we know that when He's watching us, and that He has overall control. And what His desire is, because He loves us, is to build us up, to give us the ability to overcome, and the confidence, and to know what decisions that we need to make in this life. So that accountability, we're all going to be judged by our actions, and we need to be accountable for those things. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers in Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." You know, I look forward to that day. That's the goal, is to be able to, you know, be there and come before God in His throne, and feel, and to be of comfort, and to be at peace, and knowing that, you know, we pressed forward, we strove to do what He called us to do, that we were able to be that light for Him through every trial in our lives, not just this tiny little sliver of time, but throughout our whole lives, when we turn ourselves over to God, when we enter into those waters of baptism. You know, it's definitely something that we need to prepare ourselves. You know, every day we all prepare ourselves for the day. We get up, get dressed, brush our teeth. You know, we go through these routines. And part of our daily routine is having that closeness with God and taking the time to be able to counsel Him, to be able to let His Spirit work with us, to reach out to Him, and to continuously build that relationship. I think this is it. Yeah, this is my last slide here. John chapter 14, verses 23 through 27. And it says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." They're going to come. They're going to draw closeness with us, that bond. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And that's the message that I have this night, is that we're in a battle day in and day out. One of the things we need to remember is to lift our prayers to God continuously, and to be able to understand what the goal is, understand what it is God has a desire for us to do, and how we could go about making those actions happen, and to be able to glorify Him. So may God be with each and every one of you. I truly am thankful for the opportunity, and I'm truly desiring to be able to come back here, and hopefully in the near future that will take place. And again, I hope that most of you or all of you had some part of this sermon that touched your hearts. And again, I thank you for each and every one of you that are live streaming, and may God bless you. And happy Mother's Day.